And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Mountain View Podcast. It's May the 18th, and I'm Stephen Trammell, your host, joined by also your host,
Todd Reynolds.
Todd, I didn't get much feedback last week on the demonic stuff, so we're going...
Crickets.
We're going back to the New Testament here tonight from Romans chapter 12.
Romans 12. Sounds good. There's a lot in Romans 12.
Well, I wanted to skip to the parts of Romans that I understood. So
I hear you. So we're just zooming past 1 through 11.
It's actually,
chapters 1 through 11.
It's actually only 12 and parts of 16.
I hear you. So I hear you.
The rest of it.
Parts of 16, like greet one another with a holy kiss.
That's the only part.
The churches of Christ salute you.
Yeah. So, Romans obviously a great book, but wanted to talk about the last part of Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. Christianity, again, one of those things where it aligns, I think, a lot with traditional world values, like everybody throws around things like love and whatnot. But some things in Christianity, I think, have always been just super countercultural and counter to our own nature. And these verses characterize those.
Yeah. Well, never return evil for evil.
Yeah, when we start talking about things in that vein, you're going to leave even things that Christians, I think, have done. Because, I mean, newsflash for you, I don't care if you're raised in the church, I don't care if you think you're a good person, everyone has to change
right.
large parts of themselves to be like Jesus.
Right.
And if you think you're there and you don't need the gospel or need to study or read your Bible, you're totally mistaken.
Yeah, because it's just so much more fun to get even.
Well, it is in general. At least that's what we live out at our home here.
I mean, just eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
I think if we had one of those like hokey like family rules posters on the wall,
yeah.
that would be our number one. Like number one.
Eye for an eye.
Pound of flesh.
When my brother and I were growing up, it was definitely always a punch for a punch.
You don't have to teach kids that.
Yeah.
Like it's natural. Someone takes a toy and then you're just getting hit in the face.
And then someone returns that to kind of get even, but then they hit you in the face twice.
And then it
snowballs.
Yeah. So, and, I mean, what a very natural thing. And as Christians, we've got to embrace the Word of God and allow it to change us and focus on it and think about it. And this is the truth, right? Many of us just feel like I'm already there. And you get the IKEA package in the mail, and you open it, and you think, "I'm not gonna read the directions.
I don't know where we're going with this IKEA reference.
I can figure this out on my own." And you don't read it. Well, you're gonna realize real quick you're gonna miss a few things, and something's not gonna get done. And I mean, the Bible's this way. When I look at a person, and you don't go to church because you're like, "No, I don't really need that in my life," or you're not reading your Bible.
Right.
You're not thinking about these things. All you're telling me is, I already know how to do this life thing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more arrogant than a Christian that doesn't need to read their Bible.
Right.
Or doesn't think they need any spiritual instruction, encouragement, or other things from the church.
Right.
And this is in one of those areas. This is an example, right? Unless you read this, you would never come to this on your own. It doesn't even seem natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for a while, let's be honest, an eye for an eye wasn't natural. It was, I mean, that was part of the old law. That was the natural thing. That was what people were told to do. I mean, there was, in God's society, God had built principles around human interaction with each other, especially in the physical nation of Israel. And so there were some tenets in there where God's like, look, if you injure someone's property, injure their animal, cause some harm to them, they need to be paying restitution. And I think that's just and good, right? I don't think God is backtracking on that. But man, as humans, we like those aspects of those verses, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
that's a good verse right here.
They don't make it to the city of refuge, I'm good.
Right. You know, and you look at some of those things, but here God just lays out for us some very counterintuitive verses. We're going to cover verses 17 through 21 if you want to read those for us, and we'll just cover it verse by verse and think about what God would have us do that's so different.
Yeah, Romans chapter 12, verse 17, beginning. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Well, I mean, you read that, you think about it. What's your first response here? I mean, what's
it's not going to be easy.
Is it? I think there are some things that in your Christian walk, they're just never going to be easy.
Yeah, right. I mean, when someone does something, quote unquote, evil or mistreats you in some way and you feel offended or violated or hurt, it's just natural to want to get even.
So how does this jive then? You think about never pay back evil for evil. How does this go together with the idea of what we'll cover shortly? I mean, we won't, but if you read it, Romans 13, I mean, some capital punishment or, you know, rulers on the earth not bearing the sword in vain. Like, shouldn't we just be total pacifists here if we're not repaying back evil for evil? I mean, what do you think he's really getting at?
I think practically in the individual Christian life, that spirit of turning the other cheek, as Jesus said, and, you know, as we see at the end of this text, overcoming evil with good, just having that spirit. And then the Old Testament, like Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. That's just the teaching. That's what we're called to do. And as far as reconciling it with Romans 13, I mean, the government may bear the sword and not do so in vain, but that seems to be focused on the government's role, not the individual Christian's responsibility.
And it does a good job of emphasizing God's role in the government too. So yeah, it's not like random human governments and God's just...
Yeah, God's minister for righteousness.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of like God approved, God authorized, God is doing this. But I think on an individual level, and this is the difference between the end of Romans 12 and beginning of Romans 13.
Right.
Just on a personal level, when I've been wronged, I'm not looking for restitution.
Right.
I'm not looking for revenge. And I mean, from a Christian perspective, I mean, that cuts out like half of the movies that are put out every year.
I'm gonna say 90%.
I mean, Liam Neeson is done.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's every movie. Or the old Mel Gibson.
Braveheart, Gladiator.
The Patriot.
I mean, Shawshank Redemption. Those are the best like four movies.
Everything
we just
is
named.
Like, we're gonna get back at you for how wrong you've done me. And at the end, Count of Monte Cristo. Right?
Oh man.
A classic book, like you're just a page turner to find out how we're getting back at this person. Yeah. And so from a Christian perspective, I mean, what do I do in life when somebody's done me wrong? Well, not repaying back evil for evil. I want to segment this for a second because this, again, is a personal affront. I think we have an obligation when we see wrong done to someone else to defend that person, fight for that person,
right?
You know, stand up for the needy, for the poor, for people that have been taken advantage of.
Right.
But I think just on a personal level, you know, God is not wanting us to take personal vengeance. Now, I may be off base on that, but tell me what you think there. I've always seen a distinction between me defending someone else and me defending my own honor or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's a relevant thing. And I think you see God's desire in how he deals with mankind, that he is quick to defend those who are unable to defend themselves. So particularly, you know, when we might be wanting to defend someone who is being hurt, that, you know, a child or, you know, our wives, you know, someone that, you know, may be physically being taken advantage of, it would seem right and appropriate. That's part of, you know, overcoming evil with good.
Yeah, and I think when you think about what evil begets in general, like the wrath of man is never going to end up with the righteousness of God.
Right.
And so when someone through malice or anger does something, you thinking, you know how I'm going to defeat this evil? More anger, more malice.
Yeah.
Like this is, that's not, it's not, you're not going to win that way.
Right.
The world's not going to become a more loving Christian place when we are feeding our actions through anger and revenge. Like
right.
Nothing good is going to come from that.
Right.
And so when he says never pay back evil for evil, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to get paid back. It doesn't mean that bad things don't need to be done to evil men. It just means our means of going about it is not going to accomplish anything. I mean, like Jesus and Peter in the garden. I mean, Peter thinks the solution is, I'm just going to chop this guy's head off.
Yeah.
And Jesus' response, you want to live by the sword? You're going to die by the sword.
Right, right.
And I think that in general is the rule of the world. And when you take that tact with, I'm just going to be bigger and badder than you, then somebody that's bigger and badder than you is going to come back.
Right.
And that's just how the world is.
Right.
You get beat up, you go bring three friends and you go beat them up, and they bring three friends and beat you up. And then you got gang violence all over the place.
Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yeah, yeah. So as Christians, like, you don't need to think, I have to solve this in the same way that this person has been solving it with me. This is all about, this whole section is all about giving room to God and solving things God's way.
Right.
And for verse 17, I mean, and then the second half, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Again, using your actions to never cause shame on the name of Christ,
right,
or never doing something that you would regret, or that would cause other people to look at you and say, that was the wrong thing to do.
Right.
That's tough to do too. I don't know if you got anything to add about the second half.
Well, no, but I guess I'm still talking, but respecting what is right in the sight of all men. I mean, there's just general conduct that, you know, is viewed as right. And when we respect that and when we live that out, it's rising above just the lowest common denominator of society. And there's a sense in which it's viewed as right by all, what is right in the sight of all men. And when we respect that, we show ourselves to be a light in dark circumstances.
All right, take us through verse 18, if you will. I mean, this is a tough one.
Sorry, the second half of 17 is almost like it doesn't feel like it flows, but then...
I think this will help us.
Verse 18, yeah, if possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. I mean, that's a great reminder when there's something between you and a brother or a sister or anyone. Number one, try to make it right. Number two, try to make it right. And then you continue to do that over a period of time, and you do all that you can do as much as depends on you, because ultimately being at peace with someone really requires
both, a two-way street.
Both sides to be at peace. You know, you can apologize to someone and, you know, maybe they accept your apology, but they're still a little bitter or resentful, and you try to show them some kindness and, you know, maybe that softens them up, maybe it doesn't. You know, you do that for some period of time, and then, you know, maybe they're just always going to be bristly, and then you say, hey, I've done all I can do. I mean, I can still continue to be nice, but I can't force that person to, you know, accept me as maybe they did in the past. And at that point, you've done all you can do, so you don't live with regret or guilt or, you know, worry or fear.
I think we need this verse like plastered everywhere at our house, because you know, you go through the day with kids and they generally are going to do things that might not out and out be evil or wrong or mean, but they're going to end up evil and wrong and mean. Like, bad things are going to come from their actions. I'll give you an example. You know, you singing a song over and over and over again, and somebody tells you to stop, and then you just like, I'm going to keep singing it. And, you know, it's like,
I'm going to keep singing it.
I'm going to sing it in your ear, or I'm going to whisper it or whatever. And it's like, you're going to continue to grate and grate on them. And then they're going to haul off and hit you. And then you're going to blame it on them. She just hit me. I was just singing, right? Well, that's not as far as it depends on you being at peace with all men. And sometimes we are the catalyst for the flame. And then we'll point the finger at everybody else. Like,
I can't believe they did that.
You guys are the ones with the problems.
You guys, you have such a bad temper.
And so when he says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, this is like a command. Like, you need to pursue things that make for peace. You need to try to do everything in your power to make sure there is no conflict. And a lot of us aren't really good at that. Conflict follows us because we're too quick with what we say. Too quick to get angry.
Yeah.
And volatile. And when you're a volatile person, trouble is going to follow.
Right.
And so when he gives you this imperative here, he's talking about revenge. He's talking about evil. He's talking about God's help. But here in the middle of it, he's like, you got to do your part in this too.
Right.
Some people need a lot of vengeance in their life, but you're the cause of it. You're the cause of it. Everybody hates you.
Yeah.
Or that there's so much conflict or problems. Like, at some point, maybe it's you.
Right. Right.
Did that happen in your house at all?
I'm sure. I mean, like, when you talk about someone, especially you start talking about children and someone intentionally annoying another one, I mean, that just happens, and that's like every house USA, you know, when dealing with raising multiple children. But it's a good point, and I think as we grow older and mature, we need to be sensitive to the possibility that we may be contributing to someone else's, you know, dislike for our person, right? Be someone who is lovable or likable or easy to get along with, because you're just that kind of person, not someone that gets underneath someone's skin, or, you know, you're just like, sometimes people are just, they want things to be just so, and then you're just asking for people to not like you.
Well, yeah, and neighbors, I mean, so surprised at how many neighbors don't get along with neighbors.
Yeah, and, because people are so particular, and
I'll try to get along with everybody.
Yeah.
But you got two people that get along with me, but they hate each other. Well,
yeah, I remember when your neighbor saying, "What do you think about that guy?" And you're like, "I get along with him fine." It's like, "Well, I just don't like him."
This, I mean, it happens with people, right? And so, I just want you to understand from this verse and this point, a lot of our problems stem from us, and so we can do a lot to diffuse the need for repaying evil or worrying about vengeance or all this kind of stuff, and so. Make sure you're not the cause of problems.
Yeah.
I mean, that's verse number two, point number two.
Yeah. And with point number two, if you do have an issue, I'm just going to put it out there as directly as possible. Like, if you want to know where the problem is, just go look in the bathroom mirror.
Yeah. Now that's, we're most of our own worst enemies. And so do what you can to be at peace. All right. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
I have a question for this. What do you think he means when he says never?
Well, if you look at the Greek.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be good. Yes. Yeah.
It can imply sometimes, occasionally, or whenever you want to. No, I mean, using such a strong word, and I thought of it as we were reading through too. I mean, this is like a total change of heart, change of mind, change of attitude. This is not going over well in the world, because you feel almost honor bound to solve for this injustice.
Yeah, your own honor, or the honor of, like, even in your own mind, your wife and children, or, you know, not, I mean, we should defend our wives and children. I don't mean that, but like anyone that hears something that belittles you, and all the people that, you know, maybe you're embarrassed because they're around or whatever. It's just something that's innate within us. Like you said, honor bound. We want to just retaliate or get even. And it's not easy to not do that.
Well, and you think about, I love, by the way, how often the New Testament quotes the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's God quoting himself, basically. Paul reminding us of something God has already said. God is consistent here. I will take vengeance. And this should be a very freeing thought for Christians, because I think this is the struggle most people in the world face when dealing with these challenging Christian ideals or Christian ethics. We see a wrong done, and I feel obligated to right that wrong.
Yeah.
And when you don't right that wrong, you're like, well, this person's just getting off scot-free.
Yeah, scot-free. You
know, there's some...
We haven't taught them a lesson at all.
Right. It's like, why would I allow this to continue? Well, no one's getting off scot-free.
Yeah.
Except Christians that have bowed the knee to Jesus, right? Yeah. I mean, but when you think about wrongs in the world, this is one of the most comforting verses in the Bible. God will take vengeance on every person who has deserved it.
Yeah, who's doing wrong, who is the rightful recipient of God's judgment.
2 Thessalonians 1, right? He talks about those that have troubled you.
Yeah.
God is going to recompense in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God
and
do not obey the gospel. Right. So, like, God's like, hey, look, people are troubling you. I get it. Guess what I'm planning to do? I'm planning to come take vengeance. But you know what happens sometimes? We don't leave room for the wrath of God. Yeah. God gets here. We've already burnt the place down.
I know God's going to take care of this, but I just want to speed it up a little bit.
We've got it. There's no room for the wrath of God. And so it's almost like, who could better take vengeance than God? Think about all the times that God has roared in Zion. Think about all the times that God has punished Sodom and Gomorrah, or the angel outside of, you know, Jerusalem with Sennacherib. And I mean, you could name 100 things where an arrow will find the chink in the armor, like, God's gonna get it done.
Right.
And we're like, no, I can do it better.
Yeah. And our vengeance actually was just like a, I don't even know, like a mosquito bite instead of, like, you know, a nuclear warhead.
He can make a complete end.
Yeah.
God can cut off the lineage of someone's house. God can.
Right.
God can, you know, wipe the name of someone off the face of the earth. God can do whatever. We need to take a moment of faith and patience and let God do his thing.
Yeah.
And put our sword up and just give it some time. Because we don't know what God's got around the corner.
Yeah. And one word that I think is good for us to not overlook here in the text is when he says, never take your own revenge, beloved. I mean, he appeals to them as objects of his love. And, you know, when Paul's writing to the Romans and they're reading this, you know, he's like, I love you. And my love for you is motivating me here to say, just don't do it. And not only don't do it, you know, 6 days out of seven, don't ever do it. And we don't get there early in our lives, that level of maturity as Christians, but we should strive to get there, and we should hopefully get there where we just don't feel like we need to whittle on God's end of the stick on getting revenge.
Yeah, I mean, and it's his. I mean, this quote taken from Deuteronomy 32, vengeance belongs to me, and also recompense for at the time their foot slips, because the day of their disaster is near, and fate comes quickly for them. For Yahweh will judge on behalf of his people and concerning his servants. He will change his mind when he sees that their power has disappeared and there is not one left, confined or free. I mean, it's like God is like, I'm sitting down to judge.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left to do. It's like you call the police, and by the time the police gets here, you've already shot everybody. Like, you're causing more problems for yourself at this point,
right?
Than letting the authorities and the judge handle it. Because now it's like, maybe you acted too quickly. Maybe you did the wrong thing.
Right.
And there's a lot of examples when we've taken earthly vengeance on someone and they didn't deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, criminals we've put in, you know, prison who didn't belong there.
Yeah.
And how many executions of people that, I mean, we need to be much more careful about vengeance, because, man, when you talk about whittling on God's end of the stick, God can do it perfectly with perfect knowledge in the right time, in the right amount. And we don't always trust him to do that. It's vengeance wanting its place.
Right.
All right. Any other thoughts on verse 19 before we get to verse 20?
No. It's time for the big stick of gum here.
All right. Well, let's get to it then. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. So here's a verse that you really just want to get excited about. Because if you're mad and someone has done something to you, you get to put burning coals directly on their head. Like, this is it. It's what I've been waiting for.
It's the sound of searing on someone's head.
Well, he's here quoting again a text from the Old Testament, Proverbs 25.
Yeah.
If your enemy's hungry, feed him bread. If he's thirsty, let him drink water. For coals of fire you will heap upon his head, and God will reward you. So, I mean, basically, he's here leveraging what we should already know, or that people should already know, and it's the total opposite of anything the world is ever going to teach you.
As far as just showing kindness.
If your enemy is hungry, well, good, this is great.
Let's go get some food.
Wait, what? I got to do what?
Yeah.
And it's not even, this is the difference. This kind of waiting on God to give vengeance, we can do that very passively and very angrily, like Jonah, right?
Yeah.
Jonah had that mastered. I'm going to go sit and just watch. Wait on the vengeance of God. But this is going from this passive, I'm not going to do anything, I'm going to wait on God to do something, to I am actively helping my enemy. This is foreign to a lot of people.
Yeah, they need resources, time, money, food, whatever it is they need. He's like, hook them up.
I can't. I mean, this is just, it's mind-blowing. You have a riff with somebody at church, first thing you should do, go home, make them a cake.
Yeah, invite them over.
Like, who does that?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody at work treats you wrong, that's it. Walmart gift card.
Maybe I should treat someone badly at church and just see if they'll bring me a cake.
People aren't going to do that. That's why we're doing the podcast. Well, it's because we need to read this over and over again.
Is it because they know I'd rather have brownies?
I don't think you're going to get either of those.
Oh, gotcha.
Here's the thing. We have to embrace these verses every day because it goes against... I mean, how long have I been a Christian? I've been a Christian most of my life. I struggle with this.
Yeah.
I mean, I struggle with it because we get very good at just avoiding our enemies.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to do anything mean to them. I'm not going to hurt them. I'm not going to do the vengeance thing.
So that's the passive thing you were talking about earlier, just kind of like...
But I'm
not talk to them, kind of avoid them.
I'm not going to help him.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So here's the kicker. By doing this, we're going to heap the coals of fire in his head. What do you think that means?
That's really funny because I was about to say, you explain it, go.
I know. No, this is one of those tough things. I almost wanted to do a podcast on, random sayings in the Bible or strange idioms or something.
What does it actually mean?
Yeah, like camel through the eye of a needle or things like this. When he says heap coals of fire in his head, you can have great comfort in knowing that most commentators don't know anything about what it means.
Yes, and hopefully that does bring you great comfort because if you're scratching your head thinking, I have no idea, you're in good company.
You should write a commentary.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. They don't know.
Although the commentators don't necessarily say, I have no idea. They just say, it could be this, 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 or this.
No, they say, this other commentator thinks this. This other commentator thinks this.
As Neil points out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So there's some air of authority there, but they're just still saying, we don't really know. And here's a reason we don't know. It's not a phrase that we use. It's not a phrase that continued with time. It's not something that even sounds remotely like something we would want to do. So we kind of got to take a minute and just think through it. So number one, I think it's a metaphorical type phrase, right?
Thank you. Thank you for that point of clarification. So, we're not literally putting hot coals on someone's head.
But it's different because he says, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, we're in literal mode here. This is not revelation. Maybe. This is not something else. So it's hard to just... Oh, okay, I got you. So we're going to be heaving coals of fire in his head. The other thing, when you think about it, I mean, this is a very, it's a negative phrase, right? This doesn't sound, it doesn't sound positive or good. But I think if you read the context of what he's saying here, we're not trying to do anything negative to our enemy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, giving him food or drink, it's like presumably that's good, healthy food and, you know, drink that's going to be, you know, helpful to the enemy. So,
I mean, so it's got to be something positive.
Yeah.
That you're heaping coals of fire on their head. So it, there's only so many things you can think about. And again, anything that we say is not going to be fact because it's clearly a metaphor that right. maybe we just
right.
haven't experienced. And so we can't say exactly how it was used. The one that makes the most sense to me from the things that I've studied and read, you know, the phrase, you know, somebody's repenting in dust and ashes and people will, you know, rend their garments in signs of distress or, you know, repentance. The goal of doing something good for someone who is an enemy of yours is hoping to restore peace and kindness to an otherwise broken relationship.
Right.
Right. He's going to say in the next verse, don't overcome evil with evil. Overcome evil with good.
Right.
And so there's got to be something good that's happening here that is going to lead to a change, right? You're going to overcome it.
Right.
And I think when you do such otherworldly things for someone, like feeding people that are your enemy, helping people that are your enemy, giving them something to drink, I think you're causing them to have this moment of repentance and sorrow and yeah. grief because it's like, this is a really good person.
Yeah. How can you be so inexplicably nice to me when I've been such a jerk? And then somehow the person who's been such a jerk is actually touched in a way that they're like, feel some remorse and some regret.
It's like Saul and David, right? I mean, Saul trying to kill him 10 times. And then Saul's like, I got to go in this cave and relieve myself. Well, David's in the cave. Saul's taking a break, cooling off in the cave.
Yeah.
David goes over there and cuts off a piece of his garment. And he's like, he feels at some point seeing David's mercy.
Right.
He's like, you've been a more righteous man than I have.
Right. Right.
And for Saul to even say that, and Saul's not going to always stick to his guns with that.
But he had to eat his own words.
And he ate them, right? Yeah. So David, by sparing his life, caused this moment of shock and shame and remorse that is represented or was represented by people putting some ashes on their head or something on their head that would cause to signify some sort of change or sorrow.
Right.
And so whether or not that was true, that people went around with these ashes on their head, I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there, and it doesn't explain. But clearly the goal is resolution and resolving whatever problem that's out there with your enemy. And so you got to think by doing these positive things, this is representing like a positive outcome, change of mind, change of heart by this person.
Right.
I don't know if you got anything to add. I mean, we're kind of in the weeds here, but
well, no, I think that's a reasonable thing. I mean, the idea of you know, and the thing you got to be careful with here is I don't think that should be your ulterior motive. Like, I just want to make them feel guilty. You really just want to show love and overcome the evil, and the desired outcome is to make your enemy your friend.
Yes.
You know. So.
Yeah. What a great point. You're not trying to make them feel bad. You really are, out of love, trying to show them kindness.
That's what I mean. Because that's the way you read the verse, and then you're like, come away with that. It's like, well, I'm going to be nice because that's the best way to be mean, or that's the best way to, you know, get back at them or make them feel like the loser they are.
Man, we do that too.
I mean, we can. And, you know, when you get to those subtleties, you know, that's not the intent.
No. I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, you think back to Jonah, we mentioned that. Like, what was the goal of Jonah preaching? They repented.
Yeah.
And the goal was the restoration of the relationship with God, like
right.
restoring that friendship, enmity in whatever way, and, you know, resolving that. And so that should be our goal too, right? We want to live at peace with all men. We don't want any enemies. And by doing good, I won't need vengeance.
Yeah, you won't need vengeance. And if we're in submission to the previous verses, God's going to take care of the vengeance anyways. And, you know, some commentators think some of this language about the burning coals, you know, points even back to the idea of God's vengeance that he's going to have on those who are rebellious to his will. And I don't necessarily think that's what it is, but, you know, it's certainly in the context that, like, you just show the kindness. You just give the food, you give the drink, you have the spirit of wanting to be merciful, and maybe you'll win someone. And if you don't, then, you know, God, either way, irrespective of the coals, God's going to have the vengeance.
Right. And I think sometimes, especially with people in the church, like how we're not supposed to have relationships with people and kind of cut them off. Like, it's so easy for us to like ignore the whole context of these verses with some people. Cause it's like, no, we're supposed to disfellowship them. So I'm just pretending that they're dead. And yeah. You know, the scriptures even tell us like, no, you're still supposed to admonish him as a brother. Don't treat him as an enemy.
Right.
And we're supposed to treat even our enemies like with some level of kindness.
Yeah, and respect. And
we can sure like cut some people off. So again, if the goal is restitution, if the goal is resolving things, like your absence isn't helping anything.
Right.
But by doing good, you might actually bring about something that you'd never expect. And again, if our goal is to be at peace with all men,
right,
not have to worry about vengeance, best way to do it is have no enemies.
Right.
And best way to have no enemies, according to this verse at least, is by doing good. Again, verse 21, as we wrap up, reinforcing it. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is our goal. And that's the beauty of this passage. The most counterintuitive part of all of this section, here's how you beat evil, and it's with good.
Yeah. And when it says don't be overcome by evil, evil's a powerful thing, and many people are overcome by it. But he tells you here how to combat it. And, you know, those of us who are Christians or have been a Christian for a long time, a lot of, you know, say like the majority of Christians at the Mountain View Church, you've experienced this. Like when you just show some kindness or you're faced with some opportunity to retaliate and then you just show kindness, you overcome evil and you just do it with this bright ray of light that shines light on someone's dark heart and shows the light of Christ to them. And it's just a powerful thing. So it's the means by which we overcome.
Right. And think about it. Channel the energy that you want to defeat evil into doing good.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. He's right. Given you the key.
Right.
Like if you want to get back at evil, if you want to stamp out evil, you don't do it through their means. You don't go about with
right.
anger and wrath and killing and murder and yelling. That's not how you do it.
Right.
You do it with good. And by doing good, all of a sudden, everything about that person is going to be changed.
Right.
I mean, like you said earlier, soft answer turns away wrath. Well, yeah. How do you defeat an angry person? Well, you yell louder. No.
Yeah.
No, you do the opposite. Right. How do you defeat hatred? Well, with love, not yeah. with more hatred.
Right.
And the world doesn't have that. I mean, Cold War, how do you defeat nuclear weapons? More nuclear weapons.
Right.
A stockpile of nuclear weapons. We got, and that's the way the world works.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you got nuclear weapons, we're just going to destroy all ours and dismantle them.
Yeah. I don't think what you're saying right now is politically correct.
It's not. I mean, but when you think about these concepts, that's what Jesus did. Jesus took the worst we had, and Jesus just took it.
Yeah.
And by his ultimate being led as a sheep to the slaughter, silent, he yeah. opened not his mouth. Like, but even Pilate didn't understand it. You don't have the power to release you.
Yeah.
You don't have any power. It's from God.
Yeah.
And guess what? He sought to release him, right? Yeah. I mean, like, it's like the opposite always works. And Jesus, by dying, lives. We, by doing good, defeat evil. And we need to adopt these things.
Right.
So when your sister is singing that song or your brother is bothering you and you're a kid, be sweet to them and be kind to them.
If, and maybe there, if there are any children listening.
No children are listening.
This is rewind, rewind it.
It's my mom.
And hit that last phrase a couple of times.
And you think about it. Adults need this too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and I was even thinking about the passage in 1 Peter 3 where he's like not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. I mean, when you talk about adults, like that insult, if there's some jab, you know, some left-handed compliment, we a lot of times want to respond to that and don't have a hard time, many of us, thinking of something witty to say in response. And that's good advice for those of us who are adults, right, is it doesn't... Insult for insult is not God's way.
So I'd love to hear at the end of the podcast, I mean, if you listen to it, if you want to try it, find the person you would most consider an enemy, and let's do something good for them this week.
Yeah, and hopefully you don't have a big, long list.
Right, that's the goal, right? Be at peace with all men. So hopefully you've succeeded on that. You don't have to get to this part, but sometimes it's not up to you, and you got some enemies.
Yeah.
Let's do something good for them.
Right. Compliment them.
Yeah. Would love to
do something
that.
Nice for them
and see if the gospel does its thing. I mean, if God says it is true, and let's see if we can change some relationships by our reaching out, by our love, by our kindness. And you'd be surprised. I always love hearing those stories about long broken relationships with distant relatives and things. And, and a lot of times we end them with arguments or fights and we never pick up the phone. We never call, but man, the gospel can overcome a lot of things. And so you put some of this into practice, you'd be surprised the peace that follows.
Right.
And just encourage you to do that. Thanks for listening. Hope it's been helpful. It's always helpful for me just to reflect on the Bible for a bit. And that's been the goal of these podcasts, just to give us some more exposure to these things during the week. So if it's helpful, if you got any comments, feedback, topics you'd like covered, love to help you talk through those things. Love to talk about them. And if you're just listening and you're not a member of a local church, we'd love to have you at Mountain View Church of Christ. I mean, you can find more information at justchristians.net here in North Georgia, but glad that you're listening and just praise God for his word and things we can learn from it. Todd, anything else you want to add tonight?
God bless.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll look forward